Tested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Tonight we speak to Old Mutual Wealth Investment Strategist Isaac Odendal to help us unpack the potential outcomes of the election, but deeper than that, it's what political parties do rather than say that does create a conducive environment for business. Isaac, such a pleasure to have you with us, and thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thanks.
Fantastic. I guess you've been facing this question quite a bit between your clients and other stakeholders and even your peers within Old Mutual Wealth. What to do with the elections, what the outcome will be, what influence it would have on the market. And as you've written in your note, that there are certain aspects that we can always speculate on, but it's not so much the speculation of the election outcome, but what the outcome means for business that we need to consider. Embellish on this further.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty, and there's a lot of armchair commentary around what the various coalitions could look like after the election. Suddenly, everyone is a political analyst, but that's fine. I mean, this is our democracy, and we need to participate and think about it. And of course, the important thing is that we all go out and vote. Really, from an investment point of view, the big question is, what does policy look like after the election? Are we going to see continuity with what we have today, more or less? Or is this going to represent a radical break with the status quo? In other words, are we going to end up with a coalition where, you know, we have quite a big departure from the current policy setting? And I think for me, the important thing is, I mean, we've got a lot of challenges in this country, and we don't have time to go into all of them, but there are a couple of big things that we need to sort out. Electricity, Transnet, organized crime, those are sort of the big ones. The fiscal situation, government debt levels. I mean, those are the big ones that we really need to address as a matter of urgency. Now, as it happens, we have made some progress in those areas, you know, in terms of electricity. And I think, you know, people are very skeptical that we've had a month of without load shedding, and they say it's all about the election, but I think that misses the point. The bigger point is we are fundamentally transforming the electricity market in South Africa, and it's in the process of becoming a completely different animal. So for me, the question is that going to be rolled back by any new coalition government? Is there a coalition government that's going to say, no, the private sector cannot produce its own electricity, everything must be done by Eskom? And I just see there seems to be very, I would say, zero chance that any incoming coalition would roll back that reform. So that's quite important. Similarly with logistics, I think I don't see a situation where, you know, an incoming government, whatever the party's making it up, will say, you know, we cannot let private sector players use Transnet's railway lines.
And this is important because, as you're saying, it's not so much the politics, but rather the policies of the day. Eskom, as you say, 33 days so far, or maybe more, without load shedding. From a Transnet point of view, as you say, they do have their recovery plan. And I guess sticking to their knitting in terms of private sector participation is what's key there. Let's talk monetary policy. Ooh. Because this definitely does play a role on the high cost of doing business in South Africa.
Yeah, again, I mean, interest rates, you know, people forget that interest rates are not just what the Reserve Bank does. Reserve Bank controls short-term interest rates, but long-term interest rates are set by the market. And long-term interest rates are a factor of a lot of things, but partly what's happening internationally. And obviously, internationally, we've seen interest rates rise and interest rate expectations kind of shifting. But also there's a big element of fiscal risk. You know, investors will only lend money to the government at a very high interest rate because they are worried that the government is going to not be able to pay them back. Mm-hmm. So until you address that issue, that concern, that creditworthiness concern, interest rates in South Africa are going to be fairly high, irrespective of what the Reserve Bank does. And again, that is a key question after the election. Do we see fiscal discipline? Do we see an attempt to kind of get government debt levels under control? Or are we going to see kind of, just wild spending? And again, that's kind of a big issue for me after the election in terms of policy. In terms of monetary policy itself, what is the Reserve Bank going to do?
Yep.
Look, I think the environment internationally has shifted. I think, US interest rate expectations are being pushed out. In other words, expectations that the Fed is going to cut rates soon. I think, you know, that's not going to materialize. I think the Fed will probably wait another couple of months before it has the confidence to start reducing interest rates. And I think similarly, the Reserve Bank will also be waiting a little bit before it can cut rates. But I still do expect them to cut rates towards the end of this year. I think it is quite important that they do so.
I'm glad you mentioned that, and hopefully does come with a level of reprieve for us as consumers. But what I'm also keen to understand is, typically in the past, we've also seen a lot of debate around the mandate of the central bank and the Monetary Policy Committee specifically. Could this potentially take place again post the elections, depending on the politics influencing the policy and the debate around the policy?
Yes, I think. Again, different coalitions might have different views around the Reserve Bank. The good news from the point of view of investors is that the Reserve Bank's independence is written into the Constitution. So according to the Constitution, the Reserve Bank has full independence to implement its mandate. However, the mandate itself is given to it by the government. So in other words, the inflation target is set by the government. And I think we might see ongoing discussions to actually lower the inflation target. That's certainly what the Reserve Bank wants. Our inflation target of 3-6% is a little bit higher than most of our peer group. Most of our emerging market peers target inflation of around 3%, you know, give or take. And we basically target inflation of 4.5%. So we are a little bit on the high side. So I think long term in the Reserve Bank's thinking is about kind of moving towards a lower target. They will need, again, government permission to do so. The Treasury will have to give them that mandate. But I think one implication of that is that journey towards lower inflation, and lower inflation will ultimately be good for the South African economy. It'll be good for all of us, including workers and lower income groups, because they are most exposed to inflation. But there is a path to get there, and that might imply that rates stay fairly high. So I'm not expecting that we're going to see massive interest rate cuts in South Africa in this cycle. I would expect at most about 1% or maybe a bit more in terms of interest rate cuts over the next 12 months or so.
Okay, 1% is not bad. I thought you'd only say 50 basis points. I was getting worried because not too many investors are very optimistic. But another aspect that often plays an influence on politics, how that speaks to policies and then impacts us as people and key stakeholders, is service delivery and organized crime. And I'm linking these two together because they have hampered the success of medium and small-sized enterprises who just struggle to operate in this local environment.
Yeah, so in terms of organized crime, I think that is, I mean, crime has been a long-standing problem in South Africa. I think organized crime is a fairly newish phenomenon, certainly in terms of how it impacts businesses. I mean, here I'm talking about illegal mining, the construction mafias, you know, theft of copper cables and so on. I think that is a problem that really has exploded in recent years. I think the good news there is that you're seeing cooperation between big business and government. And hopefully that starts bearing fruit. In terms of municipal service delivery, I think is a bigger worry and a longer term worry, and not necessarily something that this election is going to sort out. I think you need to see quite a change at the local level politically before you can start tackling the problems, because ultimately it's municipalities that cannot do the job. You know, they cannot fix the roads, they cannot deliver the water, they cannot treat the sewage. And we need, you know, and that impacts businesses, as you say. You know, it's very difficult to run a business in that environment. I think the good news, the only bit of good news there, is that at the local level, you can get involved. You know, you can go and see your local councillor. You can go and see the municipal manager. Obviously, you can't just walk into the minister's office in Pretoria, but you can go and see, you know, the local guy who is supposed to be doing X, Y, or Z. So I think at a local level, people can be more involved. Communities can organize, business groups can organize, and so on. But it's tough. It really is tough out there, especially in some of the smaller towns in the interior of the country.
Definitely. And we saw that with the likes of Lichtenberg, who had to see the closure of a clover manufacturing plant or outlet, if I'm not mistaken, a few years ago, impacting employment and all on the back of poor service delivery impacting those operations. Isaac, we have less than a month to go. Officially tomorrow, the countdown will begin. We'll have, what, 28, 29 days before the elections. So I guess lots of anxiety, lots of speculation. But the truth is, let's control what we can, which is us voting, right? And allay the fears of international participants, which I can imagine you and your team have been doing very actively.
Yeah, go out and vote. Yeah. Exercise your democratic right. Yeah, play your part.
100%. We look forward to touching base with you once we see the outcomes and witness how the politics influences the policies, influencing the profits and livelihoods of people. Thank you so much, Isaac. Truly appreciate your time.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Isaac Odendaal is Old Mutual Wealth Investment Strategist, helping us unpack the numbers and what it is that around politics that does influence the economics of the day. And as he's mentioned, it's not so much about who's in charge, but it's about what their political or policies rather say around the structure of the economy and how it will operate. That is what is important to business and international investors. Stay with us. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.